There were noisy protests today on the streets of Manila, where leaders of the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum will meet this weekend. The protesters demonstrated against APEC plans to create an international free trade zone. APEC leaders are expected to vote this weekend to eliminate trade barriers among its 18 member countries by the year 2020. Opponents fear the plan would allow multinational corporations to exploit the region's poorest residents and hurt the environment. As NPR's Judy McCarthy reports from Manila, members of APEC themselves are also concerned about the agenda of the organization.
When APEC leaders, including President Clinton, convene at Subic Bay, they will unveil their own action plans to create the world's richest free trade area among the world's fastest-growing economies. The future of APEC depends on whether those plans are bland or bold. C. Fred Bergston is the director of the Institute for International Economics.
I think some of the APEC member countries may actually come forward at Subic with liberalization plans that they have not yet revealed and put on the table, which would move the whole process forward.
Moving the liberalization process forward could mean cheaper computers and clothes, safe toys, and abundant food for APEC nations that account for 40% of the world's population. But free trade proponents say much depends on how quickly the members are willing to bring down barriers and open markets. The Conservative government of Australian Prime Minister John Howard has pledged to work with President Clinton to push for freer world trade. The Philippines is on the bandwagon as well, but looks like the odd man out in Asia, says economist Walden Bellio, who is chairing an economic summit parallel to APEC.
Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, China, all the big economies are very wary about the sort of APEC borderless trade vision. Basically, what they want is an APEC that remains a consultative group, not an APEC that is moving towards a free trade area, towards creating an area of fixed and binding rules to bring tariffs down to zero, that they're deathly scared of that. This is the muffled debate within APEC.
APEC members agreed last year in Osaka to liberalize at their own pace. Leading up to Manila, many countries have reportedly steered away from submitting detailed plans on how they intend to facilitate free trade. It's said to have concerned Philippine President Fidel Ramos enough to directly appeal last week to his fellow leaders. The United States and Australia would prefer a more legally binding mechanism for APEC. It includes the huge economies of the United States, Japan, and China. But fierce opposition among APEC's Asian members makes that unlikely. Philippine Roberto Romulo chairs the influential group of businessmen advising APEC.
I would hope that it will continue to be consensual in nature, and not like the European Union have a Treaty of Maastricht or a Treaty of Rome. But having said that, in the Western context, I think you agree with us. The ASEAN way, or the Asian way, as you call it, which is consensus, really basically means peer pressure. You understand it in that context. And I think that's what it really means. In that, if you talk about it that way, I don't think the Western mind finds it as mystical as the newspaper says it.
The scope of APEC is also quietly being debated. Asian nations prefer it stick exclusively to narrow trade questions, which the U.S. has agreed to do for now. Strategically, though, the U.S. would like to see Asian governments strengthen human rights, labor standards, and environmental protection. And at some point, APEC could provide a venue. Fred Bergston says APEC already provides a valuable security link.
What APEC does is bring North America and East Asia together in an institutional arrangement that helps minimize the risk of future conflict within the region. So on both economic and military political grounds, it seems to me APEC is a very good deal for the United States.
APEC's experiment in economic cooperation is not likely to stray too far from its original mandate, accommodating as it must members who include both the world's richest and poorest nations. In Manila, this is Julie McCarthy.